You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we are talking Nationals baseball with our MLB.com Nationals reporter, Jamal Collier. Jamal, the Hall of Fame announcement is tonight, as you very well know. We talked about some current players on our show, 1225 Live, who we believe are first ballot Hall of Famers, and Richard Justice mentioned Clayton Kershaw and Mike Trout. I feel like there's a player on this Nationals roster that he might have left off. What do you feel about Max Scherzer first ballot?
Yeah, it's actually something I was pretty interested in and kind of wrote about here for this week. Is kind of where Max Scherzer stands. Of course, he won that third Cy Young Award in this past November. And with that, you know, every pitcher that has won those three Cy Young, at least three Cy Youngs, there's 10 pitchers, seven of them are in the Hall of Fame. Max and Clayton Kershaw are still active, and then Roger Clemens, the only reason he's not in the Hall of Fame is because of his kind of, you know, connections to PEDs. So I think that that third Cy Young was so big for Max that it almost kind of makes him a first ballot Hall of Famer. So I kind of just did a dive into numbers and see just exactly how much Max has to go to get there. Short answer to that is that I think that he's really on a very good path, and if he has especially a couple more years at this dominant level where he's winning Cy Young Awards and kind of one of the best pitchers in the game, but at least he can kind of follow a normal age progression over the next couple of years, I think he's almost a sure lock. But I think it might be premature to say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer right now, but certainly he's on that path.
I'm sure a lot of the Nationals fans would say Bryce Harper, too, but he's not there just yet. Let's talk about the Nationals outfield this season, though, because it's going to be one of their strengths. You wrote about this, the fact that they're hoping Bryce Harper, you know, is healthy for the entire season. Adam Eaton's coming back. They got Michael A. Taylor and a couple other pieces. How is this outfield going to work out?
Yeah, I really think it's got a chance to be the best part of the team. Obviously having Bryce Harper, when he's been on the field last year, he was an MVP candidate, and what they obviously made the trades for Adam Eaton, that they feel very strong for him and the things they gave up just to get that player. We saw a little bit of it in the one month or so that he was healthy and leading off of the Nats and kind of doing so many good things. So I think they're excited about that, and I think Michael Taylor is kind of the key piece there. Because he's a guy who obviously had a really big breakout year last year, played really well, especially in the postseason in a series against the Cubs. He looked very impressive. I think that, you know, they're hoping that is for real, and that all this guy's a former prospect. These guys had a five-tool, kind of hype around him. And I think that, you know, if Michael Taylor continues to be that player, if he continues to progress, they got a chance to have probably the best outfield in the National League and not in baseball. The flip side of that is, even if Taylor struggles, they have Victor Robles, who obviously is their top prospect. It's one of the better prospects in baseball, and he's a guy who probably could play every day, maybe could play every day in the majors right now, even at 20 years old. But they have the luxuries that, one, they don't have to rush it. They can put Victor, who's still never had, you know, I think he's played 30-some games in double A's, never played an at-bat in triple A. You still can go put him in the minors and kind of force his way into the majors, kind of similar to how Trey Turner did a couple of years ago, where, you know, he started off and maybe he was good enough or was kind of right on that border, but it becomes clear at some point in the season that he's the best option. So long story short, I think his outfield is going to be really good, and they've got options and they've got some depth and some guys, you know, behind them with Brian Goodwin to fill in too. Howie Kendrick as well to play out there, and I think it's going to have a chance to be kind of a really strong and deep group.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about Bryce Harper, because he's been working out with his buddy Joey Gallo, plays for the Rangers, for those who aren't aware, and they've been hanging out in Vegas and working out together for the past couple of off seasons. But this offseason specifically, Joey said that this is the most focused he has ever seen Bryce Harper. Uh-oh, what does that mean for Bryce Harper this season?
Yeah, I mean, it could be very scary for the opposing pitchers in the National League. Like I said, when Bryce was healthy for those first half and even until August of the season, he was playing kind of back at that MVP level and was one of the guys in discussion for the National League MVP last year, you know, before he went down. And I think that he's still got that level that he's shown that he can be that good. And if he's motivated to even be better, obviously heading into what could be a contract year for him, it's you can just kind of scary to think about this guy potentially, you know, at the age of 25, still being able to get better or looking more focused, we know he added weight last year coming into spring training, and you know, obviously the power was back and the power was there. And I think that this is so for Bryce is going to be one of the most interesting players in baseball for a lot of reasons. And I think that if he can come out committed and focused, to proving that he could play that MVP level for a year before he hits the open market. I think it's good news for the Nats in the sense that, you know, they're going to be able to reap the benefits of it this year, but his price tag is certainly going to go up if that's the case.
How much pressure do you think is going to be on him because of his pending free agency?
I think a lot, but I don't think that that's any different than what we've seen from Bryce. You know, forget this is a guy who obviously since the age of 16 has been one of the kind of type prospects and players in baseball. And when you look at just coming in with that kind of pressure after winning the MVP and just everything that's kind of come about since the $400 million, I think if Bryce gets hurt again and struggles a little bit, I'm not sure his price tag would change all that much. So, I mean, I think he's the guy who, just from what I've observed him the last couple of years, handles pressure and handles expectations. And those things to him don't ever seem to influence or affect him or negatively weigh on him very much. I think, again, it's something he's used to now for the past decade at least of his life. And I think that, you know, he's going to have a lot of pressure on him. And if he goes out there and performs well, you know, again, he could probably write his own check next offseason. But it's certainly something, I think, like I said, day-to-day, there'll be a lot of people and a lot of eyes watching him, but I think he's equipped to handle it.
Another strength of this team besides their starting rotation is the back end of their bullpen, especially for an entire season, having Ryan Mattson, Brandon Kinsler, and Sean Doolittle. But the weakness, unfortunately, is getting to those guys. And you were talking a little bit about Sammy Solis and how big of a part he is going to play in this bullpen. What does he have to do well in order to be effective?
Well, stay on the field is so important. Solis, when he, you know, had for extended stretches in 2016, and even toward the second half of last year, once he got healthy, once he was able to get into a routine and you know, come out of the pen and be healthy and you know, establish himself that way, he's been a really good pitcher for them the last year and a half or 2 years. The problem is every time he kind of goes on a roll or a streak, then he starts to have some kind of arm problems and goes back from the DL and it kind of throws things off, or he spends a month or so kind of figuring out his mechanics and he's playing catch up all the time. And I think that's when you saw, especially in the first half of last year with the kind of ugly ERA that he started with, that was kind of the real issue, is that, you know, it's been something that he's dealt with for a few years in his career, but it's the last 2 years in the majors. So I think Sammy could be a huge piece for this team. He's going to have to be. They don't have a whole lot of options as far as their left-handed relievers in the system. They've got, you know, the 40-man is Solis, Andy Romero, and Matt Grace. So Solis is, you know, out besides Sean Doolittle, obviously, as the closer, and I think that Solis is going to have to get a lot of those important outs from the left and right side, as a matter of fact, in the innings for the ninth. So, you know, long story short, I think Solis knows it. He's changed up his routine a little bit during the offseason. He started earlier, doing more treatment, more therapy sessions. But, you know, if he can be healthy and effective, it could be pretty big for this bullpen.
All right, Jamal, let's let fans of the podcast get to know you a little bit more. We talked about how the Hall of Fame announcement is tonight. Is there a name on this ballot that you grew up watching that you would love to see in the Hall of Fame?
Interesting one. You know, I grew up from Chicago, and, I mean, Sammy Sosa and Frank Thomas, as a matter of fact, were just so kind of huge players, obviously, for the era that I grew up and in the city that I grew up in. I think that it would be just kind of cool if both of those guys got in. Barry Bonds also is a guy who I grew up watching and, you know, is the best hitter that I think a lot of us have ever seen. And I think that to see just some of them, just still looking back at his baseball reference page, one of the things they just kind of just marvel at and look at the numbers that he put up for 160 some games is still just kind of mind blowing. Those are the guys who probably jump out to me. You know, I have a lot of players in the ballot that I think who's still going to enjoy whether or not they get in or not, and seeing, you know, their what their speeches might look like. But I'm also kind of interested in seeing maybe what some of the speeches of Thomas and Bonds and Sosa might look like too. So those are the first ones that jumped out to me there, but I don't know. You give me some thought, I'll probably come up with 10 more names too.
Yeah, no, of course. And it's going to be interesting because I think we're expecting to hear Jim Thome and Chipper Jones's name called tonight for sure. But I'm with you. And as a fan of baseball, I'd love to hear Barry Bonds' name called. He is the greatest player I've ever seen. So why not put him in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, and Gary Sheffield actually is a guy, too, who just, you know, because everybody mimicked that batting stance. Mm-hmm. At least I did when I was growing up. So it'd be a cool moment, too, for him. But, like, I mean, there's a whole list of names. This is, at times, some of my favorite times of the year, and at times it could be not. reasons, but this could be, I'll be interested in watching tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. We all will be. All right, Jamal, that's going to do it for us here on MLB.com Extras, our Nationals edition. We will be back next week with a brand new episode, so make sure you stay tuned. Thanks, Jamal. Appreciate you joining us.